Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Hanging on the cross as though he is helpless. The nails didn't hold Jesus on the cross. His love for me and for you kept Jesus on the cross that day. Part of their ridicule was in saying Jesus performed a miracle. Jesus, just perform a miracle, come down off the cross, and then we'll believe. Listen very carefully. Belief, faith in Christ's finished work on Calvary, is not based on seeing, but it's based on believing. Here, these mockers, these deriders, these that are ridiculing the Lord Jesus Christ are seeking some sign or some miracle that they can believe. Belief, faith, is that which is not seen but believed. And here they are mocking him and making fun of him, because I'm sure some of them knew, some perhaps had seen, some perhaps had heard about the miracle working of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying, if you're who you say you are, if you're truly God, if you're truly King of the Jews, if you're truly the one that you believe that you are, come down off that cross and prove it to us. Somebody said on one occasion when I was talking about biblical truth, they said, prove the Bible. I said, God never called me to prove anything, just to preach it. It's our responsibility as Christians to preach and teach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many today fall in the same category of these scoffers, the crowds and the chief priests. But notice the criminals in verse 32. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Those guilty of crimes, mocking him, made fun of him, ridiculed him, but one criminal believed and placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as we saw in Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter. Can you only imagine the restraint, the power that is restrained in Christ, the sacrifice of his will, the submission to the Father? Here's Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man. His humanity is in total subjection and surrender to his deity, God the Father. In making the determination, he remains on the cross, suffering, bleeding, and dying for your sins and for mine. But I want us to understand the pain of the cross. The pain of the cross. Mark simply says in verse 25, and they crucified him. The pain of the cross recalled. They crucified him. I just made a little marginal note. Wow. What an understatement. Perhaps we need to understand what really took place on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Notice, first of all, the scream. Verse 33 and 34 says, and it's not part of the text, but it says, and the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried aloud, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The scream of the cross is the scream of agony and pain because of that separation of God the Father with God the Son. God cannot look upon sin. And in that split nanosecond, in that moment, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, becomes sin for you and for me. He becomes your sin and my sin. The sin of the whole world is placed upon Jesus, and God cannot look upon sin. And in that nanosecond, God the Father turns his back on God the Son, and God the Son, the first time of being separated from God the Father, cannot handle that agony and pain. The human agony and pain of the cross is nothing compared to the agony and pain of that moment when God the Father had to turn his back, deflect his eyes from the sin that the Savior became. And yet the Scripture says, he who had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin, became sin for us, that we might be saved. Not only the scream, but I want us to understand the suffering. The suffering. Our minds simply cannot grasp the suffering of the Savior. Here's an article that I've had for many, many years. It's from a physician's hands, and I'll just read it for us. It's an elongated reading, but it paints the picture so very well. Simon is ordered to place the crossbar on the ground, and Jesus is quickly thrown backward with the soldiers against the wood. The legionnaire feels, that's the soldiers, feel for the depression at the front of his wrist. He drives a heavy square wrought iron, approximately 3/8 of an inch by 7 inch nail, through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the same action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flexation and movement. The crossbar is then lifted in place at the top of the vertical beams. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees moderately flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrist, excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves as he pushes himself upward to avoid the stretching torment. He places his full weight on the nails through his feet. Again, there's a searing agony of the nails tearing through the nerves between the metatarsal bones of the feet. At this point, another phenomenal occurs. As the arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstreams, and the cramps partially subside. Sporadically, he is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in the life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermediate partial asphyxiation, searing pain as the tissue is torn from the lacerated back as he moves up and down on the rough cross. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest. The pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It is now almost over. The loss of tissue fluid has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to grasp in small gulps of air. The body of Jesus is now in extremes. He can now feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Finally, death comes. There's an old song that says, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Then we see thirdly in verse 37 through 39, and I'll summarize it for us for time, the suffocation. Jesus, God incarnate, died of suffocation. His tortured lungs filled with blood could no longer grasp any air. He bled and died on Calvary for whosoever will may come. His death was an agonizing death. His death was a sacrificial death for you and for me. But I want us to notice, review briefly verse 31 and 32. For a final point, the purpose of the cross reminded, Calvary, the cross, the place of the skull, the crucifixion. What was it really all about? First of all, it's salvation for man. "Save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. The crowds, the chief priests, the scribes, and the criminals all reviled and laughed and mocked at the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Save thyself." He saved others. He cannot save himself. Jesus died to save others. I'm a part of that others. If you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you're part of the others. Study of the scripture. This is a little snippet, if you will. The man with the withered hand. The man that was with palsy. The man with the legion of demons. The little dead girl. The blind man. Lazarus called from the grave. All of those and multitudes of others experienced the saving hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. All over Israel, Jesus had helped and healed and saved others. Those that were dead were made alive. Those that were blind could now see. Those that were deaf could now hear. All because of Matthew 1:21, where the scripture says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life." The old song, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Another old song that I like, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Jesus died to save us from our sin." And the second is, not only the salvation of man, but quickly, the sacrifice of the Master. Why did Jesus die? Why did he stay on the old rugged cross? Why did he suffer for you and for me? Was it the nails that held him on the cross? No. Was it the soldiers that kept Jesus on the cross? No. It was the love of God that kept Jesus on the cross. Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God did not spare his son, Jesus Christ, in order to spare you and me from eternity without him. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. John chapter 10, verse 15 through 18 says this, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not in the fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The Lord Jesus Christ carried out and fulfilled the supreme directive in the scripture, that he would die on Calvary for your sins and for mine. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. His blood washed it white as snow. As we study the text about Easter and the suffering of the Savior, Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago, "How should we then live?" Based on what we've heard, what we've read, and what we see and sensed in the scripture today, how should we then live? What decision should be made today in hearts and lives? Do we simply glibly, nonchalantly say, "This is Easter season, and it'll pass too"? Or do we recognize the depth and the breadth of the love of God for you and for me? Would you stand?
You are invited to participate in a new broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood and Let's Face the Issues. This program allows you, the listener, to call in and ask your questions about current issues, Dr. Youngblood deals with moral, ethical, and political issues that face our culture and the church. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 91.7 for expository preaching by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is the pastor founder of First Conservative Baptist Church and the founder president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues can be heard daily on 91.7, 91.3, and 91.9. at 11:30 a.m. and rebroadcast daily at 100.3 FM and 1600 a.m. at 9 p.m. Don't miss these relevant broadcasts. Invite others to tune in also. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, heard at 11:30 a.m. daily. Dr. Youngblood deals with current issues from a biblical worldview. Don't miss this broadcast, heard at 91.7 and also 100.3 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, in the Mandarin community. You are invited to tune in every Saturday morning at 9 for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood and expository preaching. Dr. Youngblood will encourage and challenge you from God's Word. Worship at First Conservative Baptist Church each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. They also have Bible study for the whole family at 9:30 every Sunday morning. FCBC is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 and 3 miles north of I-95 in Mandarin. We hear a lot about the cultural decline today. Much is said about the need to embrace the alternative lifestyle. These are just a few of the relevant subjects that will be discussed on Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church. Let's Face the Issues can be heard daily at 11:30 a.m. You may also call in and ask your questions. Dr. Youngblood will respond to biblical, theological, as well as other political or cultural issues. listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. The pastor and congregation of FCBC would like to invite you to join them for Easter Sunday services at 10:45 a.m. this Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church will observe all necessary hygiene precautions for the safety and well-being of all in attendance. However, for those not comfortable with in-person attendance, you're invited to participate via YouTube, fcbc@jax.com. Be sure to tune in next time for Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.